This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, it's me, Harriet Rose, and you're locked into FUBAR Radio right now. It is 4 o'clock and it's cold. Thank goodness. The aircon is off in the office. I've got a jumper and a jacket on and I'm living my best life. Now, you might think that is really weird. Okay, and I know it does sound a bit weird. However, the reason for this is I just love the seasons. I am sick to death of summer. I'm done with it. Goodbye. See you later. Okay, so I'm happy that the next season has kicked in. It's a little bit too cold for my liking because it's still autumn. So it should be sort of bright skies, crisp days. But listen, I'm not complaining. I like wearing a jumper. I'm gassed to be putting jackets on again because I've got a great array of jackets. It's an exciting day. So I thought I'd start with a song to get us all gassed up for a Thursday. It's from H's brand new EP, H2O. It's the biggest EP ever made. Not literally, but it's 8 tracks. So it's pretty hefty. It's only a couple off an album. The King of Features is back with his own piece. It's still got lots of features on it. Most Dax, Steel Bangles, Tyreezy, and of course ZZ on the track I'm going to play now. This Blue Eyed Boy has really taken over the charts, you know. It's a beefy EP, if you haven't gone and checked it out, full of bangers, as he is. And I know he's got some more songs coming out, but he's focusing on his solo stuff right now. This is Bust Down featuring ZZ. It's one of my favourites off the EP and it's here to get us gassed up.
Yeah, she get the bust down, 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take me short now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down, 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take me short now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now.
It's like I come round, touchdown, girl get the rub down. Big dough, big girls, enough pounds. May I take the love in, and I spread the love out. You seen how I bust in, next I'll get the bust down. Pull up to the show with couple bros, you know it shuts down. Couple brothers smoking by the old, they blowing enough clouds. Sipping by the bottle, gotta go because I'm slumped out. Taking home a body in the pussy, getting bust down. I make her blush when I call her sexy. Hold her brother down, she does it all correctly. And she's 10-10 with too many pen friends. All of them are on mess, it always tense, man. Get the Aussie dripping, going swimming, then I'm dipping. Age, I tell the truth, I'm just in love with different women. Never go on dates, I'm sorry, I'm not really in it. I'm just living.
Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now.
Yo, talk to me, darling, the flirting has started. I know exactly who I'm trying to go back to my yard with. Hella man, I'm reaching, everybody wanna get a piece. But she don't never ever put a pussy on the market. Slow down, short skirt, had to tell her turn round. She bust down, got me saying, oh wow, are you coming with me? Cause I wanna know now. Still she got me waiting, I ain't really got the patience. But there's something telling me that it's all worth it, so I'm staying. Yeah, I know she feeling me, you're trying to hide it, girl, you're playing. Start beating round the bush and just tell me what you're saying. Me and you, we can keep it on the low. Don't even tell your friends, me nobody needs to know. And I don't really like to speak on the phone. Let me know when I should leave and tell me when you need to go.
Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Let me tell you a little something when I fly. Boy, smoke a load on me, yummy, man, I'm high. Take a load, make a load, cash from a show now. Coming from the guys, now you're sure you tryna blow now. Yeah. Come collect your lady, you're my nigga, finna fuck. I ain't really you, now I got a fish, she got the part. Hold her down, she love the way I give a fuck. Finna down, yeah, she like a winning nigga, raw. Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Bust down, yeah, she get the bust down. 10-10, and I hit a touchdown. No, the building take a shot now. Me busy making love, I smoking kush now. Hey.
Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
You know? Appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. That's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that, but the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint, that's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We are back on FUBAR Radio. Bust Down H from the H2O EP. Now, on today's show, we have a plethora, my favourite word in the whole world, of incredible guests. Intaya is coming on, are coming on in a second. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, guys, by the way. You can correct me when you come into the studio. Azu Yetche is coming in. Cassie Wrights is coming in. KZ, Ruth Ann. And we've got a chat with Blessed at the end of the show. Basically, we are back to back. And it's obviously Halloween season, guys. So I hope you're all getting your costumes ready. I've just spent £150 on a costume because I was a little bit drunk and very overexcited. So if you've got any ideas for costumes, let us know. I would like to hear them. But I am going, actually, I'm not going to tell you, it's too exciting. But it looks like my show is actually on the day of Halloween. So we're going to be doing some special spooky stuff for that. And also, if you check out this next song I'm going to play, talking of Halloween, very good segue, Harriet. AJ Tracy's new video for song Cat Pack, which we're going to play now, is very creepy Halloween-y. I was on in the internet the other day and I was having a conversation about AJ Tracy with someone. And I wonder whether now when everyone meets AJ Tracy, all they want to do is say AJ Tracy live and direct. Because if it was me, I haven't met AJ Tracy, but I feel like I would have a deeply strong urge to say that to him. I wonder how quickly that's going to really get old for him. But yeah, go and check out Cat Pack, the video. It's got lots of good ideas, actually, for Halloween costumes in there. It's a sick video, new tune, very excited for this one. Let's have a listen. It's called Cat Pack.
Me a set piece and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Smoking gelato is cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. Me a set piece and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Smoking gelato is cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. Run out this money, I'm running it back. Running the show, I was running the packs. How can a blogger try say that I'm whack? Huh? Nowadays, every song I do's a plaque. Pagans don't like me, but like how I rap. Yep. Probably because their girls been making it clap. Police are mad at the fact that I'm black. And that their house isn't half of my stack. Oh, I was in country with a ting on my lap. And now I'm in the club with a ting on my lap. Yeah. You niggas capping, you ran out of facts. Try racing me, you gonna run out of gas. Yep. Can't get a girl because she choosing. Only cheap people, I'm cruising. Everything wet when I'm shooting. The club can't be lit because it's you in. Ha. Me, I set pace and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Yeah. Smoking gelato. Oh, it's cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. Me, I set pace and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Smoking gelato is cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. I used to sleep in my lectures. My jeweler just gave me a necklace. I need my shit with the extras. My rug off white with the texture. We used to spin it on Vespers. Now the gang pull up in Teslas. I had some castor with teachers. I used to get them the testers. I got a little bit older. Now my chain goes supernova. 4L, you know I'm a soldier. FNN over my shoulder. All of this shit got a hold of me. No record man ain't controlling me. I know the ops on the roll of me. I'm out in the States with a pole of me. Fiat set pace and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Smoking gelato is cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Nope. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. Me, I set pace and I'm active. Your girl wants me as a captive. Smoking gelato is cat piss. If it weren't bro, then I slapped it. West London call me the savior. Won't do a shorty a favor. Nope. Come to the block, you're in danger. We do the most of the paper. Yeah.
Hey, they 10 seconds to 10.
AJ Tracy, live and direct with Cat Pack, his brand new song. Go and check out the Halloween spooky video. He actually co-directed it with Hamish Stevenson. So there you go. He's getting artistic all up in here. Very talented boy, that one. Produced by hip hop duo Take a Day Trip. And it came out on October 2nd yesterday. And it's a day after he announced the deluxe edition of his self-titled debut album, which is coming very, very soon, which was amazing, by the way. If you haven't gone and checked it out, please do go download it, have a little listen. Okay, so we've got a really good show today. I'm so excited about all of our guests. Intaya are going to be in the studio in a little minute. Before that, I'm going to play Glitter, a new track from Benny, who I've talked about a lot on the show. I absolutely love her. She's from Auckland. And she's taking the world by storm. She's actually, I believe, going on tour with Julia Michaels, who's the incredible singer-songwriter who wrote things like Justin Bieber's Sorry. She's incredible. She's dropped a new song, and it's got sort of got a Gruffalo Alice in Wonderland style cartoon video directed by illustrator Steve Mertens. But it's actually inspired by her cover art of the EP that this is on, Fire on Mars. She released it earlier this year, and it features loads of bangers, including Soaked and Evil Spider, which I've played on the show before, including also other songs, One Wishful Thinking and Afterlife. Basically, I was having another listen to it this morning. It is so good. This track I'm going to play is called Glitter. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, and the video is really, really cool. Kind of gives you a little insight into her mind and what she's up to. She's super young, and we don't know loads about her because she's only just coming through, but I think she's a real one to watch.
Everyone else has left now. I bet that this got you stressed out. Wondering, what can we do now? Baby, let it burn out. Where I can't feel my face. Mind's twisted and weird ways. Wondering, what can we do now? Maybe.
Welcome back. Dom and Paola are here of Intaya.
Yeah.
And I did say it right. I think I said it wrong once, but I've got it now. Intaya.
You've got it.
How are you guys doing?
Really good.
We're very good.
Really good.
Now, let's kick off with the name because it's so interesting. Because I think I love on this show, we have a lot of amazing guests with loads of different names for their bands or their artist names. And I'm always really intrigued about words that I've never heard before. So tell me a little bit about what does entire mean?
Well, actually, Taya, it's a word in Wayunaiki, which is an ethnic South American tribe group.
Okay.
That resides in Maracaibo, which is where I'm from, Venezuela and Colombia. And I grew up in this city, which has a lot of these people. And I wanted to bring something from that. So Taya means I, and in is in, so in me.
Oh, I like that because you're bringing a bit of yourself into it, you know?
Yeah.
But that is actually what you guys are all about, really, isn't it?
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You kind of are two different cultures colliding and creating great music from that. Because obviously, Dom, you're from London, right?
Hertfordshire, yeah, close to London.
Nice,
yeah, yeah.
Nice. Same thing, mate.
I pretend I'm from London. Yeah, yeah. I've been here for 13 years.
You said, the truth just now. Yeah,
yeah. And Paola, as you said, you're from Venezuela.
I'm from Venezuela.
Which, honestly, I don't know anything about Venezuela. And I don't know why I don't know anything about Venezuela, because it seems like such a beautiful country.
It is.
Like, I was looking at it online when I read about you being there. I was like, why do I not know anything about this place? I need to go. Is it just like, what was it like growing up there?
Great. Like, I mean, it's... Caribbean, it's like by the Caribbean Sea, so you have so many beautiful places to visit. Like, the nature is just incredible. Obviously, politics and, you know, living there is not great, so it was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be from there, but it wasn't easy all the way, but yeah, it's cool. I love it. It's beautiful. Like, if you want to go and visit, there's so many places to go that are like look like man-made, like they're so like, whoa,
crazy.
Is this for real?
But that must have been interesting to be able to take that beauty but also the conflict that's going on and kind of how that affected you with your music, because obviously a lot of what you think and feel goes into your music. Did you find that you were like directly putting that into what you were making?
I think everything like inspires and somehow affects the music you make. Obviously the fact that I'm from there, I'm going to come with different inspirations, and the fact that it wasn't all the time easy, or so it kind of brings different stuff to the music, and it reflects through what we do. And then mixing everything with Dominic and his past, which is completely different, it makes it, I feel, unique. And yeah.
And Dom, tell us a little bit about your sort of upbringing, your musical influences, I guess, in Hertfordshire. What was it like?
Not as exciting as Venezuela, as exotic, but I've just always been playing music ever since I was really little. And obviously through school and stuff that you just experience jazz and classical music and then everything else. I studied classical guitar, but then coming to London is when like suddenly it hit you and you experience all these different musics from down around the world. Meeting people from different places around the world and studying this music, and that's kind of what it's all combined with me is studying things like Brazilian music, Ghanaian music, Cuban music, and all that kind of stuff, and that's what's kind of brought my music and what I write now. It's heavily influenced by that. Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
That's a good question. So we
it wasn't a very natural way. I think like we just like, you know, how people in London share flats. He was a flatmate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, he was making his music and his beats. I was making my beats and melodies, and then we were like, hey, let's jam, you know? And then we started jamming, and then when we were bored, we're like, Dom, how are you doing? Like, do you want to jam?
Yeah.
We would jam. So it happened, like, very naturally, and then kind of like, let's do something with it. We like what we were hearing and, like, the sound that we were getting, and... So yeah, it happened naturally and it wasn't planned.
And it's working. You've been described as a commute to an electric Latin Caribbean island in a London tube train, which I really like. That kind of like really sums up what you guys are doing, doesn't it? Because it's a real merging of both of your cultures and where they've come from and what they mean to you. Don't worry, it happens to me all the time. What can you tell us about the EP, because that it's called Not Your Typical Tropical Dream. Now, I was really interested because you said of it that you're trying to challenge people's perceptions of Latin people, Latin women, sorry, in the pop industry.
Yeah.
With this EP. Now, firstly, how do you feel that they're portrayed? And then also, how are you challenging it with the EP?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are like so many great Latin American women in the industry. I think we have maybe it has some kind of pop sound to it, and I didn't want it to go and forget about everything that we hear, our influences, and just go all the way straight to doing something pop, because it's not what comes out naturally. So we started like finding our sound, and I think it's just a way to say, look, like, not everything is reggaeton, not everything is salsa, you know, we can also mix different, like, I think actually, for example, Dominic listens to more Latin American music than me. He's more Latino than I am, you know.
Yeah.
And like,
well, he's got the hair like, he's got the
Latin hair.
Yeah, Latin, but it's also kind of like musician hair, like you're really channeling the musician vibe with that hair. I feel like there's a lot of secrets in there.
I have to keep it, not washing it.
But that's interesting, isn't it? It's weird that you kind of had this circumstance where you met each other and like actually you're kind of like each other in each other's bodies. That's quite weird. Like if his like passion is what you, or like what you were born with.
It's and it's not that where I normally go to. Like when we write, I tend to go to different references that are not Latin references or influences, but then Dominic brings some of that and I'm like, dude.
A lot of music I play in London as well as in Teo is Brazilian music, Cuban music, that kind of thing. I'm really influenced by that. And then when I met Paola, she was introducing me to electronic music, which is a whole world I wasn't really studying much at that time or doing much, playing much at the time. So she introduced all that stuff to me, and that blew my mind. That was like, wow, okay, there's this whole world of music that I haven't really got into, because electronic music to me was always kind of like either techno or house, and the things that I didn't really enjoy because it just felt a bit, it wasn't my kind of thing. And then we'd start putting those two worlds together, basically. And often when we were writing, I'd want to put congas on or something that made it a bit more Latin, and she'd be like, no, take those congas off, you know, keep it more electronic. And then we gradually just found our sound together and what we liked as a combination, basically.
How sick is that? That sounds like so perfect. Now, let me see if I can pronounce this right. The new single is called, well, no, the first single is Wawanko.
Yeah, well,
Wawanko? Like,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Wawanko?
Wawanko.
Wawanko. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the word first, because I know we were talking about it a second ago, but tell the listeners, what does it mean?
Well, Wawanko is a rhythm from Cuba. There's a style of music called rumba from Cuba, and it's kind of Afro-Cuban style of music. It's what people play to celebrate and just have fun and stuff. And it's mostly just drums and vocals, and you can dance to it as well. And that's rumba. And then
Dream.
It's great. It's beautiful. And then Wawanko is a rhythm of that kind of music. And it's got a certain rhythm to it. And that's kind of what influenced this track.
You just wanted to encapsulate that with the song, yeah?
Yeah, and it's not replicating it. It's not doing what it is. It's just using that influence and kind of celebrating it, because we both love that vibe and that style.
And that's part of the EP, right?
Yeah.
And so the second single is Backpack, which is out now.
It's out now.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Backpack is a crazy tune.
Yeah.
Fire. You have to listen to it. It's everywhere, like all of the
streaming and everything.
Yeah. We're going to release a video.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do for it?
Very soon.
Have you done it already?
Yeah, the video is done.
It's
ready. And we just ready like, yeah, we're going to release it probably end of this month. So keep an eye on our social so you can
definitely.
Actually,
which is entire music. That's it. Entire music on both Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Very easy, guys. That's cool. So what's coming next for you guys? Is there going to be a show to celebrate the EP? You're going to be putting together a live thing?
We've been like doing some shows, and now we're like rethinking our sound for live.
Yeah.
So we concentrated on that, releasing an EP.
Yeah.
Very soon. So November, I think, mid-November. And then we're just like writing the whole album. So
wow.
Yeah. So it's like we are multitasking.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, just every day, like writing, recording, planning when are we going to be releasing things. And the sound is also evolving with it, and it's pretty exciting. We're so excited.
Yeah. And do you guys still live together?
No.
Yeah. Were you like, we need to be separate if we're going to do this? Did you move out before you started making proper music together?
No. We were living together still, and it was great. Like, I don't know, like Dom and me is like we're brothers. Sister, and he's my brother from another mother. I don't know. So it was always cool. It was never, you know, like arguing or any of that. It was,
We argue more now than before.
Probably, yeah, over music rather than like who washed the dishes or anything.
Yeah. At least you can like chill out with a movie after like having a big argument when you live together, can't you? But now you're just like, I'm going to go home to my separate house. Is it weird now when you get musically inspired that you don't live together that you're like, you have to like ring the other one up and be like, oh, I'm thinking about this, rather than just walking into their room?
But the thing is, like, I moved very near.
Oh,
we don't live very far away at all. It's quite funny. It's like, in the same area, so like,
yeah, Hoxton basically.
So she likes you. She doesn't want to move too far away. She's like, we're partners in crime now. I can't get away from you.
Yeah, when you find your family, when you're, you know, an immigrant, and you find your family, that it's you want to stay together, and so yeah, I kind of, and also I love the area. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good area.
As much as me.
Do you ever go back to Venezuela?
I went 2 years ago, and I think I might go in December. I'm not sure.
Will you ever take Dom with you?
I want to go. I really want to go. Yeah.
I think we should. I would love to shoot one of the videos there. Yeah. That's one of the ideas we have.
You have to, because there's such an influence there from both of you.
Yeah.
Even though you've never been there, you've still got that style of music influencing in it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's have a little listen, shall we?
Let's do it.
Wawanko.
Yeah. Yes, got Wawanko.
It. Yeah. Wawanko. Fuck. Can you guys introduce it so that I don't make a fool out of myself again? And everyone, make sure you keep an eye for Not Your Typical Tropical Dream, which is a tongue twister, by the way, guys.
Good, right?
Not Your Typical Tropical Dream.
You can rap if you want to it.
Not Your Typical Tropical Dream. Not Your Typical Tropical Dream.
That works.
You should do a rap version of that song, and I will feature on it, okay?
Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in. It's been so lovely to chat to you. Also, just really amazing to hear this amazingly organic story of how you guys have got together and made this band, because that is the most wonderful thing in music, when you just have synchronicity with the other person you're working with.
Mm.
And usually when you're in a flat share, things like that do not happen. It's usually the total opposite.
It's
definitely a nice story to hear. Can you introduce your first single then from the EP?
Yeah, this is Wawanko from Intaya.
Close your eyes and see.
I'm chilling with her.
Yo no más bailar ahora. Pido a mi
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
Lauren Platt, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, great to have you in. X Factor's Lauren Platt.
You've all grown up. I feel like you're auntie.
What about this rumour of X Factor All Stars this year?
Well, X Factor All Stars. So
Louis Walsh has already confirmed some names.
Yes. I know.
Yours has been bandied around.
I heard that you have signed on the dotted line.
Well, I wouldn't say the dotted line, but it's being thrown around a little bit. And from my point of view, I'll be honest, it's like going back to a holiday destination that you love. Do you know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I do it again?
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Cassie Wrights is in the building. How are you, babe?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm really good. Lovely to have you here. We're going to be talking all about your brand new debut mixtape. 10 very big bangers.
Thank you.
Really love this mixtape because it's very, I want to say powerful, but I don't also want to put these big words onto it because it is just a great, you know, great piece of work. But also you are out here making points with your music. It's not just music for music's sake, is it?
Yeah, like I actually have proper meanings behind what I'm saying and true stories behind why I've written my songs.
And you can really feel that. I was watching the video for Chat Demo Chat and it's like that, it's really strong. And it's kind of really telling that story of, well, I'm assuming from an outsider's point of view, you're telling the story of a female grime MC because in terms of your fight to kind of be heard and your fight to be in this industry. Is that what the vibe was for that track?
Sort of, in a sense, like, while I was writing that track, I was going through a lot of things relating back to my school life, sort of, and just what I was living around and the types of energies I was around. And it was like writing that song was just kind of a punch in the face for all the people and anything that was trying to make me feel down or whatever. And also proving that I had every right to be successful in this industry and that, you know, I'm not like... If you want to hate, you can, but that's all you're going to do is chat. Like, it's a minus. It'll be in the most minor situations. You'll be so big to talk bad to me or whatever. But if it was in a huge, huge situation, you wouldn't know what to do. So as much as a lot of human beings anyway, but then that's why you should just stay humble, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, because I know you've mentioned that this is sort of, the whole EP touches on negative experiences that you've had in your younger years.
Yeah.
Was that hard to release because of knowing that you were being so honest about the way you felt, I guess?
Not really, because I knew that I was going to be interviewed by... I know I'm going to be interviewed by this song and this is what I want people to ask me. So... You know, I didn't find it hard to release because I feel like the topics of these songs and the reasons why I've written them needed to be shared. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of women and a lot of young girls go through a lot of things that I've been through. Mm-hmm. And it'll be good to touch on those things and show them that they're not the only one that goes through this and you can rise back out of it the same way I did and just carry on in life. So it was... You know, it was difficult to write, though, I must say, because it just brought back memories and it brought back certain experiences that are not very pretty. But it would just be weird how I'm writing songs. I've been through so much and I'm not writing about what I've been through. I'm not using my music to express my feelings the way I want to. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
What's the most important message or point or delivery that you wanted to do with this music? Like, is there something specific you wanted people to know? Or is each track giving a different message?
They give different messages sometimes. Like, I'd say, for instance, like, Cobra is bashing at one person. Chat Them A Chat is bashing at like everyone. But then the similarities between those two tracks is I'm still bigging myself up. Like, yeah. I'm saying I'm still the boss, I'm still this, like, you're not phasing me. Do you know what I mean? With Guard Up, I'm kind of saying, you know, there's some fake people out here. Yes, I've been through all this, but still I keep my guard up and I just stay strong, do you know what I mean? Like, I just keep strong and I keep going through life. So that's more of like a motivational thing. Like, I'm saying that I've been through bad stuff, but it's like if there's no rain, flowers or trees can't grow or anything. That's basically what I'm trying to get across. So they do relate to each other. However, not all of them are exactly the same. Like Chat, I'm very angry. I'm saying what I'm saying. Well, not, yeah, I am, but I'm still taking the piss. But then with Guard Up, I say, okay, I know I've been through this, but I keep my guard up. This is why I keep my guard up. This is why I'm the way I am. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Did you find that you felt a type of closure from those negative experiences after releasing this mixtape?
Yeah, I did, actually. And I went through something recently it kind of promotes the meaning of this mixtape even more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready to say that yet, but, like, I would say... Wait, sorry, say the question again.
I was just saying is if you felt a type of closure.
Definitely. Like, when I released these songs, it's like I got a huge weight off my shoulders. Like, yeah, this is... It, like, if them same people hear it, they hear it, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt... As a matter of fact, like, way before it came out, I started to feel better because it's just, I've written so much, I've just gotten so much of it out of my head, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're just banging songs as well, so it's like I made the most beautiful thing out of these negative experiences. I didn't hold on to them, I let them go through something beautiful, so...
Well, that's the most important thing, isn't it, about making music, is that ability to... I mean, they say even in normal life... If you write stuff down that you're worried about and just burn it or get rid of it, that can help.
Yeah.
And this is like properly, this is doing that and then some.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big move, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great move. Yeah.
You originally started off singing.
Yeah.
And then you were sort of inspired for different reasons, one of them being Chip, who you're a really big fan of.
Yeah.
Into kind of your new vibe, which is grime. It's a great way to express feelings, and people don't necessarily, I don't know, I don't hear very often people when they, especially in the mainstream culture, talking about grime as a way, but actually it's a great way of kind of like dealing with problems, issues, situations and expressing feelings in a completely different way. Is that, did you find that you could express yourself more clearly with grime than you could with singing?
Yeah, a lot differently, and it was so much easier because I felt like with singing, this is just me personally, I just felt like it was too soft for me, and I realized that when I used to have counseling sessions or whatever, or like if I'd have like certain people, if I was talking, I'd be very passionate and I would say things how I want to say it, and I was always good with words because I was even writing poetry, like doing my little poetry thing when I was still in school. So I said it just makes so much sense to just rap because then I can shout, I don't have to worry about riffs or if I'm getting this note right, I can just talk, and I, you know what I mean, and I know that I can word it properly. So I just thought I'm just gonna start rapping, but then the genre grime is just very aggressive, and you're allowed to be swear, say whatever you want, and just release all the anger you want. And I was like, well, and also I love skippy flows, and I like hard banging like bass type music. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, this is the perfect genre. I might as well just, you know, dabble into this a little bit and, you know, see where this takes me. And you know, it lifted off pretty well. Like, I also want to dabble into different genres as well, but that one really, like, helped me get everything out. Like, it's just it allows you to be angry. It's like, yeah, this is the place where you can just, like, be angry, especially when you go on radio sets. It's like, everyone's cool, but then we all had our skeletons and we all write about it and we just spit it out there and express it and, you know, just carry on with our day. It's just a great thing. You just develop such great friendships there as well. So, yeah, man.
And it kind of makes, it's like a deeper friendship because you're going from 0 to 100 on giving your feelings and giving your, you know, what's inside, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's definitely. Like you see a part of someone that you wouldn't necessarily see in just a conversation, you know?
Definitely. It's so weird because when you hear a lot of these, like, especially like male MCs talking, like rap, like spitting, you think, oh, do you know what I mean? But then when you talk to them, they're just, you know, they're calm people, do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, because Wiley was started following you quite recently, right?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Was that a big one? Like, yeah. Those kind of moments for an artist, especially a grime artist, must be like, wow, the godfather of grime is now following me on Instagram.
Yeah, that was literally, like, honestly, I was just on my bed and I said, let me do some things before I go on my phone, innit? So I was like tidying up around my house and whatever, and then look on my phone and I see he you know when you can put people on your story and so he done that and then he followed me and I was like, are you serious? Oh my days! Like I was like, oh, I think I fell off my bed, you know, because I fully jumped. I did fall off my bed. Okay, I was that excited. Okay, I'll admit that I'm a fangirl. So what? But Wiley, godfather of grime, following me like proper into what I'm doing. Okay, I'm flattered. You know,
there is no shame whatsoever in falling off your bed when Wiley follows you on Instagram. It's a huge. It's his way of saying I like what you're doing. I want to watch. I want to see how this goes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And you don't get that every day. Like, no. I don't understand why, but it's just sick. It's just really sick.
It's really good. It's exciting, and it's also a nice, it's just a nice, you know, it's not career changing as in like you don't need it, but it's wonderful to know that a man that is so talented wants you to know that he thinks you're talented.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Tell me with the mixtape, what track would you say resonates with you the most?
Oh, this is
really hard.
Am I able to like pick three?
Yeah, and you then, can pick three. Pick three and tell me why.
All right, cool. I'm gonna start with Throwback. Yeah, this, you know, this is like a very heart to heart song because when I wrote this song, yeah, I was thinking of my past. Like I was thinking of how easy it was when I was younger. It wasn't as easy as it should have been when I was younger, but it was easier than it is now.
But it's what you always knew, so yeah. You don't know what it was you at that time. Yeah. There was no other option. It's like that's all you knew. Yeah. So that was, and in a way when you're younger everything's sort of easier because you don't have the thoughts that you have now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like I wrote about those in the song. So that one felt a lot, like, that one sat in my heart a lot when that, like, proper came from the heart. Not saying not that the rest of the songs didn't, but that one really sat with me.
That's why you put it as the last track, is it?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a, like,
a finisher.
Yeah, finishing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nice.
Okay, now the next one I will say is, it's even hard for me to pick three, but I'll say Cobra, because that song was written to a girl that really disrespected me to levels that, like, the thing is, she's way older than me, but I call her girl because ain't no woman, I've never seen a woman act like that in my life, right? She really disrespected me to the highest degree, right? And very back, like, it was kind of backhanded as well. And it was so, like, are you serious? Like, really? Like, you have no idea what I'm going through. Like, I'm not going to go into detail, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it takes for me to get here and what I try and do and this and that. It's like, I come here and I'm all smiles and everything and I'm calm, but you don't know what I've been doing today or how, do you know what I mean? It's like, you don't know. You can't just come and say these certain things to me. So I just, you know, I expressed it in the track and It really meant a lot to me because that bothered me so much, and it's like I just feel like this needs to release. Like I need to get this off my chest.
The best possible. Can I say that these are just three for today? This is not reflective of like how you feel about your album, because I'm only wanting to know just three personal. Like, it's lovely to hear three really personal thoughts from you about the tracks, which is great. But I'm not holding you to this. I promise.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm gonna say Chat Them a Chat, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That song, yeah, because I remember when I was writing that as well, my grandma was also passing as well.
So it
was hard for me to write in general, like, I was even spit, but I was still doing it, but I wasn't as on it as I always would have been or as I am now. So I was writing it and I was trying to remember the bars and this and that, and I felt like my grandma was always there trying to cheer me on because she was always encouraging of my music, so or me wanting to do music. So she was, I was just visioning like she would want me to finish this song. She would want me to perform this. She wouldn't want me to just give this up because she's like gone. Do you know what I mean? She's like, even when she was passing, she didn't really want us to cry. She didn't want us to be upset or anything. So even though I was anyway, but it was one of them things where, okay, she's watching over me now. Let me finish this song. Let me get it done and this and that. And plus, it's also jabbing at the people who tried to get me down. So I know this is getting me down, but you're not about to make it worse as well. Do you know what I mean? So
powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful for you, powerful for her, and important for the album. I think those are three great choices.
Yeah.
Great choices. It really feels like a moment for you, this. And it feels like now you're... Now you've done that and it's like it's out there, people are able to enjoy it. You can now move on and try, like you said, try different genres, try different styles, but also, I guess, go into another part of you for the next piece of music, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
What's your plans for the next thing? What are you doing next? Are you going to be doing any live shows or?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing some live shows. Just trying to get some more bookings in, more interviews in. Definitely, like, I love being in studio, so I'm going to try and get more. Well, I have been in studio anyway, but try and get more studio time.
Yeah, yeah.
And just creating more bangers to release and this and that. Hopefully there should be another video for Chat Them A Chat, like, with me in it.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Because it's like an anime-themed one, which I like. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. I would rather... Yeah, no, not rather. No, I love that video as well, but I really want one of me in it because I know... I have a great vision for it, you know.
The energy,
I mean?
I think, would be really high because I think your passion for the song as well would be really... You'll be able to see it if it's you in the video.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I really feel like... Yeah, I'm going to try and give you... I'm going to try and give you a video for Chat Them A Chat. And, yeah, just blessings for the rest of my career, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to see what's next for you.
Thanks.
So make sure you keep sending us new songs and what you're working on. Really excited to hear it.
Definitely.
In the meantime, let's play some music.
Yeah.
We're going to play Chat Them A Chat.
Hey,
let's get gassed. Cassie, will you introduce this for me?
Okay. You don't know, this is Cassie Wright, CAWSIEY, and this is Chat Them A Chat Bad Book.
Shutdown problem, madness, flawless. When you write, it's a disappointment, full of bullshit, garbage, fuckery, boredom. Bro, I don't wanna hear your side by the grime scene. When your whole gang them got slaughtered. Pepper your clock to your ball out murder. Blood running thick like ketchup, gorgeous. I can rock off a blood of flawless. Make a rhythm a hit and I don't need a chorus. Yeah, I'm a gal, only 5 foot 5, but if you bark, I'ma kill off your time like walrus. It's from the stomach, I'm tired of being cautious. You should go to gab like the horses. This is why I have you laying with the corpses. Come and live, it's attacking like armed forces. Spit quicker than the speed of an antelope. Now my niggas talking like the speed of an antelope. Damn, dope, deeper than microscopes, making a man them say bam. I'm feeling like a second nature. Carry bullets on my tongue like a revolver. If you fall back and see it now, I bet they'll be turning over. Wishing that your blood wouldn't be closer. If they could looking at my ass like a vulture. Low life, what's Casanovas? Making no move like sculptures. Shit spectators. I'm doing the most while the bitch look push up like Vader. But you see that Cassie Rats gonna cater. Come out as you show the greater. Then I see period when I step in the vision. But still I vomit lava, penetrator. You pussies wear out the henny. Hypocrite, yeah, anybody's so patting you and my daddy not. So don't tell me what to do. Trying to bring a girl down like I don't have a clue. Man, your chest too high, don't know what I'm to you. Don't know why you feel so you wanna take me for fool. When I work mad hard for my stuff, I praise what I got. Swim in my head, funny have a plot. So if you clap, don't know you're like a story. When I come clap back, gonna pre bare blood, not flood. Bare blood, not blood. Double dutch, double dutch,
double dutch.
Talk out and they cannot get up. I'm a serious fool, better check up, check up. Trying to reel me in, it's a set up, set up. Had snakes in my heart, had snakes in my yard, snakes down in my face, had snakes.
I am joined by the incredible poet and author, Dean Atta. You were recently on the cover of Attitude magazine.
I was on the front cover with my partner, Tom, and we were kissing, and they wanted to do a cover. It was a bit terrifying.
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say.
Doing the shoot, we shot outside, and we had people, like, honking, some in support, some in, like, with negative comments to make.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Someone on a bike said, ugh. Someone in a car just shouted the word gay, and I was just like, yeah, like, that's the point. And it was really interesting because the whole team doing the shoot was like, this is the reason we're doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we need to confront these things.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggin.
From 6 p.m. Foo Bar Radio.
I'm very pleased because one of my old mates is back. Azu Yetche is here.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you back.
Lovely to be here.
You're back with Connor as well. Hi, Connor.
Hi, how are you doing? You
I'm
okay?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad.
Connor's on a very gorgy looking guitar right there. Yeah. Wow, that's stunning. What kind of guitar is that?
It's an Ovation. I pretty much only chose it for its looks, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you chose it right, my hun. You chose it right. So we're going to have a little live performance in a little bit, aren't we, of Lagos.
Yes.
Which is one of the tracks from your brand new EP.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's Ikwe Road. Is that pronounced right?
Ikwe Road.
Ikwe Road, yeah. Which is coming out October 18th. So we're getting, excuse me, a sneak preview of a live performance of what you would say is the sort of, I'm guessing, the most important track for you on the EP?
Definitely, for me, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about why?
Firstly, Ikwe Road, the EP, that's the road I grew up on. Like, I was born there. And it's also my tribe in Africa. That's
wow.
I speak the language as well. So I sort of wanted, this whole EP is like a chronological story of how I got from there to here.
Mm-hmm.
And Lagos is very important because it details the story of my brother being stabbed and me having to move to England all of a sudden. So that's definitely an extremely personal song and very important, obviously, as it changed my whole life overnight.
And we did touch on this the last time when you were here,
yes.
But that is a highly traumatic situation that you had to go through.
Yes.
And you're such a lovely human being. We had such a fun time when you came in last time, but you went through so much,
mm-hmm.
You know, at such a young age as well.
Yeah.
How do you feel about releasing this and performing it and having it out there? Because it's quite a personal...
I think, firstly, it's a story that's not unique to me. Like, there are lots of people who've experienced sort of knife crime, gang issues, all that kind of stuff. And just the impact, it had a huge impact in my life. Like, having to move because of that attack, living in the kind of fear that they might attack you.
Mm.
You don't know who did it to him, you know, all that kind of stuff. And also, catharsis, like, for me, just because I think what happened was, a lot of the focus moved from, you know, it was on my brother, oh God, is he okay? And my parents, I feel, didn't realize there's this 10-year-old who's estranged from his parents all of a sudden. And that's not necessarily a criticism. I'm just saying that that's a byproduct of what happened. So for me, I sort of had to sort of heal myself and deal with it myself. And songwriting and singing has definitely helped me.
And I think it's a story that... that needs to be told,
yeah.
In a lot of ways, because actually it's hard to hear.
Mm.
But I feel like what you do with your music is such a personal
yeah.
experience, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And that's why you've got these really intense fan groups who love you
yes.
And love your music. And I feel like it's because everything that you make comes from the heart and your journey. And it's just really, it's wonderful to see you kind of shining in this way out of such a horrible situation.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have sort of positive memories from Ikwe Road into the EP?
Absolutely. The very first song, Farmhouse, which thankfully we were supported by Radio 6 with.
Amazing.
It's a very happy song. I felt love in this farmhouse.
Yeah.
That was sort of the pre-Lagos experience. So
yeah.
Before that... experience, it was a happy time ish but happier time, you know.
Yeah.
I come from a huge family and, you know, cousins and, you know, 18 kids and all of this kind of stuff, so it was a lot of joy. And so for this to happen, so I think that's what the EP does, is that you start the EP and it's extremely like joyful, and then halfway through you hear this tragic, and I think that's symptomatic of the human experience. It's not all one thing, it's joy and pain.
Well, I think as well, you on a completely simplistic way, without joy, without pain, you can't feel joy, because it would just be the same feeling all the time.
Exactly.
So despite it being a horrendous pain, you know, it almost intensifies the joy. Do you feel like now you're here and you're kind of making your music and you're settled in that, do you feel that joy again, like being here, or is it?
I do. I think that it's my nature to be quite joyous.
Yeah,
I think that
you definitely are.
That's part of my personality. But at the same time, there is a pain that kind of experience gives you that changes you permanently. So I would always have that, which I sing in the song. There is a loneliness that I didn't think I'll ever get rid of. And there is a pain that I would always carry. But I still look at it very positively. I think it's, you know, yes, a bit of both.
You're a hugely positive person, and it's a strange idea that, because it happened to you. Obviously, you said 10 years old, you were kind of moved to the UK. It's a strange thought to wonder what person you were before that and what person you are now.
Yeah, it's huge, because before that, I was just growing up as a child.
Yeah,
but just after normal, the age of 10. Yeah. That's when you sort of really form who you are and your values.
Yeah.
And I have this very strange relationship with my entire family, because they're extremely African, extremely religious, extremely cultural. And they wonder why I'm not that way. I'm like, where would I have learned it from? I didn't grow up with you in that setting. I was always moving, even within England.
It's from learned relative behavior to relative. As well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm this weird... I don't know what you want to call me, but this weird breed of different things, which, you know, it's good. I like it. I like me.
I like you too. I like you too. Have you sent your family the EP? Have they heard it?
Yes, I sent it to my brother, and he took like 4 months, because I recorded Lagos first, so I get it out of the way. He took 4 months to respond, and he just wouldn't even acknowledge that he'd heard it. And then he just messaged me one day saying, that's a very arresting song with a melancholy flow. I have to quote him. But he still won't directly acknowledge the impact, because, you know, this...
It might be too difficult, I guess.
Yeah, it is, because it's that whole incident is still... unanswered in a lot of ways. Like, we still don't know the full story.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that element to it. So they just go, okay, cool, you wrote a really nice song, it touches me, thank you, bye.
It's almost like, do you know what though, there are some people that can't put into words the way they feel, and that might be his way of being like, it's a beautiful song and it touched me, because he said something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Don't forget, this is an African, extremely like macho culture who like, don't get soppy now. Like, just say it's a good song and let's
carry on. Well, on that note, I would love to hear it. I'm going to have a little live performance of it. I'm going to make sure the mics are all ready. Do you want to do a little test to check it's all good?
Cool.
All good?
Oh, okay, yeah. We're fine. We're sending you to the city to give you what was denied. We're hoping you will be better, better than what we've become. Oh, they attacked your brother, they put a knife in his head. I thought him silenced forever. I prayed beside him for days. So run, run, run as fast as you can. Goodbye, you're going far away, but I'm with you always. Remember this, they never gave explanation I was removed from her arms. Did you seek retribution for the life they almost destroyed? It made my world feel so lonely, a thing I fight till this day. I thought him silenced forever. I heard you cry in the dark. And so we ran, and never looked back. Goodbye, you're going far away. I'm with you always. Remember this. Oh, goodbye. You're going far away. But I'm with you always. Remember this. We're sending you to the city to give you what was denied. I want my child to be better, better than what I've become.
Woo! That was amazing. Oh, that was absolutely incredible. Thank you so much, Azu. How are you feeling after performing that?
Sorry, I always need a good 15 seconds after I sing that it feels like I've lost something.
Oh, God. It was really emotional.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
It must be such an intense experience.
Oh, my God. A lot of people, like, after gigs, like, oh, lovely song. Oh, there are... I don't like to sing that song.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard song to sing.
It really is.
It's really... I mean, you're talking about something that is so scarring.
Yeah. It just takes... The thing is, you know, as a singer, your job is to express a song. And so I have to sort of go back to that place in order to tell the story properly. And if I don't, I'm just winging it. And I don't really wing when I sing. I have to mean it.
Yeah, you can tell. You took everyone in this room there, I think. It was amazing.
Did you go there, Connor?
Including me.
Connor, you were there, weren't you, babe?
I was definitely here.
You were there and your guitar looked great.
Thank you.
Absolutely
Hopefully
stunning.
It sounded good as well.
It did. Sounded gorgeous, but I was just staring at it because it's so nice. Azu, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Before you go, you're going on a mini tour to support the EP.
Yes, I am. Yes.
You're going to Chesham, Wendover, and London Covent Garden.
Yeah.
Plus, more dates coming in Paris, Prague, and the UK later in the year.
Yeah, in November, yeah.
So tell me, where can everyone go and get tickets for the mini tour?
The mini tour, azuyache.co.uk.
Perfect. Very easy.
Easy. Or Instagram, Azu Online.
So. Yeah. And in terms of the December dates, are they already available or are they...
Some are, but we're sort of still booking. Like, there are a few just we need to confirm. And yeah, let's do the mini one first.
Busy. Yeah. He's like, give me a break, Harriet.
It's my favourite part of the whole thing. I'll never complain about touring or performing live. So.
Yeah, you love it, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's been lovely to have you back. Thank you so much for performing live. Connor, thank you so much for getting
thank
that
you.
Beautiful guitar in here and playing it so beautifully as well. Let's have a look. We're going to play Black Market now.
Yes, fun. Nice.
Can you introduce it for us, please?
This is Black Market by me. Enjoy.
Kept it to myself.
Thank you.
My heart's of no use. Yes, it makes me feel good. I'll always find an excuse to keep on living. To keep on living. Life on the black market. No one knows about us. Life on the black market. Don't you tell me I'm wrong. They want me to hide. Make me qualify. To stand next to you. With no disguise. No, no. So we can live.
And Gigi of Blessed. How you doing, girls?
Hey, we're good, thank you.
Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Now, your sisters, which is the first, like, off the bat, I've already asked you if you were twins, but you're not.
No, you're
a couple of years apart, but you look so similar. The genes in your family are super strong.
Yeah.
And they're good, girls. It's working for you. Now, tell me, let's talk about this first off, being sisters and being in a band together. Historically, it's quite a difficult thing to do.
Yes.
How is it going for you two?
Great. It is actually going really well. Yeah. Like, we do argue. We're not going to pretend that it's always amazing. But we don't argue about music. No. And we really don't. So that's been...
Sips the tea.
We really don't argue about
music.
Sips tea
and smiles. No, I believe you. I promise. But actually, it's one of those things. It's kind of weird because if you look at bands over the years, like girl bands who've had arguments and split up or whatever.
Yeah.
With you guys, it's like there's nowhere to go, hun.
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah. It's like your family are going to intervene if it gets to that point. Although Oasis is not a good example, but.
No, but our family would like make sure that we're always
Our mum okay. is. We have arguments, and our mum is like, "You need to sort it out right now.
It's a bigger picture. Yeah. Sort this out."
Yeah. Oh yeah. Slap in the bigger picture line. Yeah. We know it. And then she's going to say, "I'm disappointed," and you're like, "Damn it!" The real painful one is when they say they're disappointed in you. But they must be so proud of you, your family.
Yeah.
It seems like, I guess it's not a difficult thing to do, but it's an investment. You know you've got to invest the time and energy to be working with your sister and to go into the music industry. Mm-hmm. Did you have second thoughts before you started, or did you know straight away this is what we need to do?
Before we started, we definitely did, like 1,000%. Because I just feel like maybe like when we started duos, you didn't really see them as like, we didn't see them as cool, I'm not going to lie. And then also we just, was at a stage before we became best friends where we was like arguing a lot because obviously we're sisters and it was an awkward age gap. Yeah. But as we got older, we actually became best friends. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where it was like, okay, do we do this? And then it could jeopardize our like
friendship.
Yeah. But then once we actually started and we got in the studio together and we started writing, it was like,
We should have done this a long time ago.
Yeah. It was mad.
And you kind of finish each other's sentences, which is really sweet. Because it's like you do kind of have the same mindset about things.
Yeah.
Oh. Jinx, padlock.
I can't stop it now.
Now, Love Me is your latest drop. And it's a beautiful track. It came premiered on GRM Daily a few weeks ago. And it's all about self-love. But also, what I found interesting is it's also about, like, not quite being there with self-love.
Yes.
Because yeah, definitely. And actually, it was a perspective that I don't know if I've really clocked before.
Yeah, and that's I feel like that's what we're so proud of, because there are a lot of songs. There probably is a song out there that has the same sort of meaning, but I feel like a lot of them is I love
amazing.
Myself right now. And this year has been really tough for us, and we just have been on a journey of self-love and trying to...
It's a constant journey.
Yeah, it's a constant journey. We don't really feel like we have arrived at that destination, or we might not in the next however long, but we are getting there. And it's
about being aware and knowing that you need to start like being more kind to yourself.
I think especially in the music industry, because there is a lot of ups and downs. You know, you could get that massive thing that you really want, but then the next day when you've done it, you're like, oh, what's next? And I think it's about realizing that those are part and parcel for the journey, and you've got to kind of enjoy the downs with the ups if you can. And that comes with loving yourself and, and not comparing yourself with other people, with social media and things like that. Do you guys like do any safeguarding to monitor how you use social media because of that?
Yeah, definitely try and limit the amount of social media that we use, because honestly, comparison is the biggest thief of like your joy in your life. Constantly seeing people with
it's
their highlighted lives.
This is our like our life, and it's so important to have. So
you need
to
be engulfed in everything.
Yeah, so it is difficult. But I feel like just being more conscious of it, like maybe a year ago, if I would say something negative to myself, I would just keep it moving. Like I would say something negative, then off on to the next thing. But this year, if I say something negative, I'm like, oh, how dare you? Don't say that. Like, you're beautiful, you're amazing. So it's just being aware and then checking yourself every single time that you are negative or you have something bad to say.
And I know you. I saw you mentioned that it's actually quite difficult for girls to talk about themselves in that way, because people go, "Don't be so up yourself." Yeah. Don't, which is such an interesting thing, because it's like the world tells you to be confident and be yourself, but then when you are, it's like shut up and don't
be humble, be quiet,
sit
down.
Be humble, be quiet, and sit down is the three things that are told to a woman from a young age. I think, and I think it's a really important thing to highlight. Don't you think?
Yeah, massively.
I mean, people are always telling, not always telling women, but it's definitely a time where we're recognising. I think from when I was younger, I'm a very loud person.
Yeah.
And I've always been told to shut up throughout my whole life by teachers, by everyone. You're like smiling because you're like, yeah, bitch, shut up. Listen, it's my job now, so.
I love it.
But, you know, it's that thing, as women, you do get told. So I think it's a really good, I really like the song and I really like the meaning behind it. I think it's got a lot of impact. And especially if you guys have been having a tough year. It really reflects that. Do you feel kind of cathartic now you've released it? Is it like a good feeling?
Massively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Massive release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the video was you and your friends and family, right?
Yeah.
How was that to film?
That was amazing, because we said from the get-go, all we know that we want from the music video is to be surrounded by the people that love us at our most authentic, happy selves. Mm-hmm. And having everyone in the video was just amazing, because the vibe on the set was natural and it was amazing. Like, all the love of your family actually being like, oh my gosh, they actually sing, this is what they do.
Yeah,
it's
for
real.
Them to see that this was actually something that we do,
that was
amazing. They were like, oh my gosh, this is real. So yeah, it was so good.
In your like most laid bare moment as well, I think you probably needed that support structure around you.
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of the EP, that's what I was going to talk to you about. Now, that's on its way, right?
Yes.
What can you tell us about it? Because I haven't got any information. So I want to hear from you what's going on with the EP. When's it coming? Can you give us anything?
We can't give dates or names or anything like that, but we can say it's coming really soon.
End of this year.
Yeah, it's going to come with a single and then 5 tracks. And yeah, we're just super excited, because it shows like a really good body
of
work
us,
that's just like... different, and it's got some
slightly
different
experimental
flavors
for
and,
us as well.
Yeah, so it's just nice for people to be like, oh, this is blessed, and they do like
it's what they're capable of, and the genres that they like.
And if you were to kind of describe what blessed is about to people listening who haven't heard your music yet, how would you do it?
Oh, I say we really just want to give off really good vibes, positive energy, and we want to uplift people with our music.
I think that sounds perfect. It's really weird. You know, when you said, like, I used to think of, like, two groups with two people in as like, lame. And the only the only one I can think of is Tattoo. You know, those two girls that sang that song about being lesbians, but actually they hated being lesbians. And they weren't really.
No.
So great. Oh yeah, you're probably too young.
We only knew Mel and Kim and Jedward.
Jedward? Who's Mel and Kim?
They're actually two sisters.
Yeah.
And they were really good in like maybe the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not really too sure, but we used to get compared to them a lot.
See, there's lots of iconic couples.
Yeah.
Sister. Mm-hmm. Sister. Are you? Yes.
Tia Tamara. Yeah.
Tia and Tamara. Fucking love those girls. Babes. The sister thing seems to work, but Tattoo did not work. I mean, their song was very good. You must remember it was like, all the things you said, all the things you said, running through my head. No?
No.
Iconic.
I'm so sorry.
You should cover it. It's a great song. Great song. But as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, I can't think of any. But it seems like there's a space for it because I think there's a space opening up for more girl groups, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
Have you come across any other girl groups yet? Have you worked with any of the other girl groups? Because I know that it's a tough competitive industry, but actually 99% of the time, the girls just want to meet and have fun and be nice, you know? Have you come into contact with any other girl groups yet?
No. We like follow 303.
Yeah.
And we like support them. They're doing their thing.
Oh,
they're really sweet. And then... I would love to meet Little Mix. I just think they're amazing.
Yeah.
I just think they're so sick. But yeah, no, not really. We haven't met anyone.
Well, soon come. Mm-hmm. What about on the EP? Is it just you guys or is there any collabs on there?
Potentially.
Oh. You literally are you're like, am I going to say it? I don't know. All right, well, let's have... Oh, there is... We're getting a thumbs up from the next door room. That means we can say there is a collab.
Yeah,
we're not saying who it is, though. Is it a person or people's?
Person.
Ooh, okay. So by the end of the year, we will hear a blessed EP.
Yes, 100%.
We're going to listen to Love Me now. Can you ladies introduce it for me?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, we're blessed. Yeah. This is our new single, Love Me.
It's all about learning to love yourself, so we really hope you enjoy.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks for having us.
Biggest critic, but I really need to let it go. Yeah, fuck yeah, and I need to let my body naked. Gonna do what is best for my soul. My soul like a simple, let go of the blame. I'm learning to love, learning to love, learning to love.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. Danny Vegas is in the studio.
This morning, I lost 20 minutes thinking, what would I do if an ostrich came in again? And that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
What would you do?
My first instinct was, I'd try and bring it down with my shoulders, my upper body strength and some laces.
Right, okay.
Then I thought maybe I'd tie two trainers together and do a... You know, go for the ankle.
That would hurt it, yeah.
Bring it down like an attack.
Yeah. If I did manage to capture it, whose neighbour's garden would I let it free in? Why must I get stuck with this bloody ostrich?
Every Monday, Ian Molesworth from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Casey, welcome into the building, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Nice to have you here.
No, thank you for bringing me down.
No, it's nice. We're going to be playing One in a Million, which is your latest release. But we've also, hopefully, fingers crossed, got a little sample of a new track. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it's an exclusive that hopefully is going to drop at the end of this month. It's been produced by Alan Sampson. So if you guys don't know him, his song's currently charting like all around the world with Ride It, which has been produced again by DJ Regard.
Nice.
And the original was done by Jay Sean. So, you know, it's a hopefully a big look and I can't wait to like put that single out.
So how did you guys get together on it?
So actually, I released the mashup back in January and he came across it and he obviously just messaged me on Instagram. He's like, yo, man, this is cool.
Nice.
And I was like, yo, thank you. I was like, you know, he's obviously been a massive influence. I've always looked up to all the music that he did.
Sick.
So, I just hit him back. I was like, yo, bro, let's get on and do a collaboration. And he was like, let's do it, man. So literally just booked in time. And, you know, it was February this year that I went down and, you know, did the joint with him. So it was like really cool to like do that. And like, you know,
where's he based?
He's based in Acton.
Oh, sick. So he wouldn't have to travel far, you could just pop down.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too far because I'm from like Croydon, so it wasn't too bad.
Nice, nice. He's not the only famous face you've worked with. You've also written for Justin Timberlake, is that right?
That is right, yeah. So when I was like 19, I got selected for I won a competition which was hosted by Point Blank Music College.
Sick.
And then, yeah, they were just like, you know, we want to put you with another producer because Justin Timberlake needs songs for his upcoming album, I think it was Man of the Woods or something.
Yeah.
Back at that time, and I was like, you know what, that's wicked, let's do it. And
sick.
Literally, yeah, I had to write it in like 2 days. Yeah, then it was sent off to his record label, his management. I think got shortlisted for the album, but it didn't make the album. So
yeah, but these things happen and it's a good experience, isn't it?
Definitely, you know, to write for such a big name and for him to even look at it or his management team to listen and show like kind of shortlist it was wicked. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully we get some more opportunities like that.
Yeah, nice. And your debut single came out last year, is that right? This Could Be Love.
That was right, yeah.
And then you followed that one with Make You Mine, and
that's
then
correct.
We had One in a Million, which we're going to play today. Tell us a little bit about One in a Million.
Yeah, so One in a Million, like, that's a really cool song. You know, that came about again pretty much last year. You know, I heard it, I wrote it actually back with V. So he's quite big in like the international scene, so like in India he's massive, like, you know, he's done a lot of stuff with T-Series
nice.
And another artist called Guru who's like made a song with Pitbull, so he's quite big out in like the kind of Asian scene.
Yeah,
so obviously I teamed up with him, but obviously I told him, look, I want a mainstream source song, but alongside, you know, you can add a little bit of an international sound or, you know, some Asian instruments to kind of, you know, also capture your own fan base as well. So, yeah, we literally wrote that in August and then kind of recorded it near the end of the year. But then you know how music is, like, it doesn't come out until, like, seven, 8 months later. So it's just the wait is agonizing because you're like, oh, I want to put it out. But it's like, no, you can't do that. We can't do that. And it always gets pulled back. And, you know, that's kind of the frustrating thing about music.
But the thing is, you've got that excitement now to look forward to, especially with this track that we're going to play now, because it's Between Our Bodies, it's called, right?
That's the, yeah, Anna
this is,
Samson
yeah,
one.
Yeah, this is the, I'm saying that this is the one we've got to premiere now. This is exciting for you that you can drop a little bit of the music before it comes out, right?
That's it, exactly.
That's that frustration able to come to life and you give a little bit to everyone before it's released.
That's it, yeah. I just wanted to like, tease them up a little bit.
Should we have a listen?
Let's go for it.
Okay, so this is called Between Our Bodies.
That is it.
Let's get emotional. Yeah. Nobody has to know. The way you move is slow. I'm underneath your flow. Now let me take control. Fainted, let's make a mistake. What we do is perfect. No room for escape.
Let's keep a secret tonight. This stays between us. Love when you hold me so tight. This stays between our bodies. This stays between our bodies. This stays between us.
You had it, exclusive KZ. That is going to be your new single coming out, hopefully, beginning of October. We'll see.
Yeah.
The next few weeks.
Next few weeks. So, yeah, hopefully end of October.
Like, very exciting. Very exciting. So, you've done a video. You're just telling me a little bit about it, but we're not going to tell anyone yet what
not
it's
yet.
About.
Not yet.
Sounds exciting, though. And it's obviously a collab with Alan Sampson.
That is it, yeah.
He's going to get behind it when you drop it, which would be exciting as well.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to, like, you know, push it on his social platforms as well. And, like, you know, just imagine, like, Craig David looking at your song or Zayn Malik looking at your song is, like, wicked.
That is nice, man. Yeah. That is exciting for you. So, tell me, what else is upcoming? Coming for you? You're going to be doing any live shows that we can come down to, or?
So I'm actually taking part in a UK school tour that begins at the end of October. So every Thursday, Friday, I'm touring different schools up and down the UK. So I think the first two schools in Northampton.
Nice.
So it's just, again, it's just like a 15-20 minute performance. But then I'm just giving them a talk about the music industry, mental health, something that's relatable to the kids as well.
That's really cool.
And it's like they get a chance to meet me, get some autographs. And, you know, again, it's a way for me as well to establish my fan base and see my fans. But at the same time, you know, build that fan base as well. So
it's important to talk to young kids about music industry, mental health in the music industry, you know.
Definitely.
Another one of our guests, Sodi, actually did a similar thing. She went, she did a couple of songs about bullying, and she went and did a school tour and sort of talked to the kids about how important it is to be safe online and stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's very vital, like, the kids know, because back in our time, like, when we were growing up, I don't think social media was that big. You had Facebook, but now, like, everybody's on Instagram, you know. Like,
it's terrifying.
I go to barbershops and, like, you see the three-year-old kids and they're watching cartoon films on YouTube, and I'm like, well, I didn't get a phone until, like, year seven.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, like, how are these kids, like, addicted to phones? And it's a worrying sign, because they don't go out and play football. They don't go out and do exercise. What we used to do, play on the swings.
It's like you had to go outside because there was nothing else to do.
There was nothing else to do. And, like, I think they miss that because all they do is literally get occupied on their phones.
It's one of those things that you know, you're going to do some great work talking to the kids, but also they're going to hear your music and kind of, as you say, broaden your fan base, which is sick.
Exactly. And I think it's so important because it's the young kids that are going to champion your music, and they're going to grow as you grow as an artist. So, you know, like, when they're growing up as teenagers, they're going to go, like, you know, we used to listen to KZ. And that's that kind of development that you'll see them kind of going from, like, their little kids to kind of the mature adults and, like, listening to your music.
And what's the sort of, what's the journey for you? Like, what's your dream for the next couple of years?
So I think the dream right now is, like, you know, obviously I take it kind of, like, day by day.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, work on singles, you know, like, keep dropping consistently good quality songs, you know, work towards the album. If it happens, you know, let's see if we get a record deal out of it. And, you know, if that does touch base, then, you know, it's always the kind of touring element that obviously is, like, fantastic, you know, touring different parts of the world, getting to meet, you know, your fans in different parts of the countries, and, you know, just being out there continuously is, like, probably the dream.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like you're on track to getting there, which is really exciting. Good luck with Between Our Bodies. Can't wait to hear the full track. We're going to play One in a Million now, KZ. Can you introduce it for us?
Yeah, sure. So this is my latest single. It's called One in a Million. I hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm just trying to leave with you tonight. Oh yeah. I've been checking on you for time. I just wanna rock with, I just wanna rock with you. You bad girl and you know it. Don't stop, keep it moving. Let our bodies do the talking. Cause you're burning up like an oven. Baby, won't you tell me, are you lonely? Everybody knows. A one in a million. Give love, you look like a one in a million. Give love, you look like a one in a million. Don't give love, you look like a one in a million. Give love, give love, give love, you look like a one in a million. I like when you whine it,
come close, let our bodies collide, yeah. Alright then, let me slide in. Ooh girl, let me take you on a ride. I've been waiting, I'm waiting so long, so we can get it on. Think I'm gonna lose my mind. Maybe we can go somewhere, girl, I just want your time.
Friends, because we met at MTV Push, didn't we?
We did. It was such a good night.
It was such a good night. You performed live.
Yes.
Who were you? Who was on the lineup? I can't remember now.
We had.
I've done so many of them.
I know. Oh my god, I can't even remember.
Oh, don't worry.
No, we had Mira May.
Oh my god, I love Mira May. I, after meeting her that night, I was like, I think you're one of my favourite people in the music industry.
Yeah, I was like backstage in the waiting area with her, and I was just like, this girl is so funny and amazing.
Yeah, because she was like doing that Snapchat takeover, wasn't she? Oh my god, she's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
How have you been, babe?
I'm good, yeah. Well, my album comes out at midnight tonight.
I know, it's so exciting.
So I'm like,
long overdue.
Yes.
Gassed for it.
I feel like your first album, though, you're allowed to take like a bit of extra time.
Also, you're like a busy girl.
Yes.
And absolutely, if you rush your first album, you might mess the whole thing up.
Yeah, it's like such an important thing. I think for me, it's like, it's a body of work from when I lived in LA and was dealing with like feck boys and Hollywood bullshit and stuff.
Which I love, because you kind of, like you say about this album, it's like, it deals with your... I don't know, because I read that you said it's like heartbreak, hope and love. It's like it's split into like three.
Yeah, it's actually in the timeline of exactly how I wrote it, timeline-wise. So I started with Take My Place, which is heartbreak. And then I got to The Vow at the end, which is love, which is one of the last songs I wrote. So it kind of literally goes in the timeline of what was going on in my life, which I feel like in your 20s, you go through that type of phase where you're like heartbroken and you don't know who you are. And then you're kind of like hopeful about it and you're like, I'm figuring it out. And then you're like, oh my God, I have to just love myself and just not care what anyone thinks and just do my thing. And I feel like that literally is the journey of my album.
And I think that's important to make it about you, because if it's not, then it's not going to resonate with your fans, is it?
Yeah, it's like, because obviously I write for a lot of artists as well, it was really important that this album was incredibly personal and real and my stories, and didn't feel like there was eight songwriters in a room writing, you know, hot pop hits in inverted commas. Do you know what I mean? It's different, it's soulful, it's real stories. My favourite artists are like Alicia Keys and Lauryn Hill and John Legend, and that's the type of an inspiration behind the album, is those type of artists. Carole King, you know.
And I think, you know, we're going to touch on your songwriting in a minute, but it's also had a really good production behind it. You've got Fraser T. Smith on there. Fraser T. Smith on the chords is what I have to say every time.
He's amazing.
Who's obviously worked with Adele and Stormzy, if you know who they are. and Malay as well, Future Cut, Noah Breakfast. I actually don't know about Noah Breakfast, but Sonny J. Mason, I've heard of the other guys, but it sounds like I mean, Ty Dolla $ign Christine and the Queens.
Yes, so many. I mean, Malay did a lot of the first Zayn records.
Yeah,
he's done
Frank
Lewis
Ocean.
Capaldi. He did all the Frank Ocean. He's worked with John Legend.
Basically, you've got like all stars doing the production on this.
Well, do you know what it is? It's like the album, I wrote a lot of it like without top liners. And that means like lyrics and melody were mainly me.
Yeah.
So my main thing was I want to have great producers that trust me to kind of take care of all the songs, mm-hmm. and then just have producers that could bring it all to life with me. So I executive produced the record with everyone, and it was so great to have people like Malay and Fraser trust me and let me collaborate with them in the production. This isn't like I handed it to them and said, okay, you just do whatever you want. I was like in with them, being like, we, you know, collaboration. And it was so cool because I'm thinking, oh my god, like they actually are like letting me contribute to the production, which is so cool as a female as well.
But also, you have got an incredible reputation as a songwriter, so I think that helps.
It probably does.
With that, because obviously being a woman in this industry, you know, being on both sides of it as an artist and a songwriter, you know it's hard.
Yeah.
But also aside from that, you have got this kind of like reputation where it's like people like Fraser, and Malay and everyone that you work with, they can respect that of you as well. So it's like they know, it's like this is, you're not just like, oh, hi, I'm here and you've never heard of me. Yeah. I'm doing, it's like, you know, they know you.
I think they trusted me. I've been in the industry for a long time as a songwriter, and I'd worked with them on other artists like Third Story with Malay, and I'd done stuff with Fraser. So I think that, yeah, there was that already, that bond there. They already kind of knew how I worked and how I like things and was willing to like. But it is hard being a woman because sometimes you do feel like you have to prove yourself. I spent years being the only woman in sessions with 6 or 7 men trying to just be like, what do you think of trying to get your part, your bit in, and like, you know, and trying to really have a voice. But I've been so lucky that I have luckily worked a lot of guys who really are like, let's see what Ruth wants to say. Do you know what I mean? Because it can get really bro-y in a room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold on a minute, a girl would never want to hear that. You know, sometimes men can get quite bro-y and they'd say lyrics and I'm like, a girl would never, what? Your fans are not going to want to hear you say that. You've got to appeal to your fans. So I like being the female voice in the room that can bring everybody back to like, okay, let's do what's right for what women listeners want to hear.
It's kind of weird because it reminds me of like, I've just been recently watching Mad Men for the first time and there's the female copywriter in the room, and all of a sudden, slowly but surely in all the seasons, they start to realize that it's a massive benefit having a woman there, because it's like, oh, hey, you can deal with the pantyhose and you can deal with, but now it's kind of like in the music industry, like you say, everyone's opening their minds to be like, well, no, how can I talk about a woman's perspective, a woman's dream, a woman's life without a woman there?
And so many female artists are just absolutely smashing, like Billie Eilish and Ariana and stuff. It's just, we're just an unstoppable force. And that's why as well with my album, I wanted it to be about what I'd been going through and my vision and everything, because I wanted to everyone who buys it or streams it to know that I am behind every single detail, from the artwork to the font to the mixing to the mashing. I'm sitting in on all the rooms while I'm also doing sessions for other artists, and I'm having, because this is the one thing that I got to have full control over. When I write songs for the people, they can take it and make it a metal song and I don't really get a say. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
what a nightmare.
Yeah. And sometimes I don't even hear the final version before it comes out. I didn't hear In the Name of Love until it came out from Martin Garrix. So it's like, at least with this album I got to kind of have a final say over it.
Well, finally, you are getting to be you, and that's separate. It's a totally different entity, you as a songwriter and you as an artist.
Yeah.
And I think, let's touch on the songwriting for now. I mean, the level of bangers that you have been a part of. JoJo, Too Little Too Late.
Ah!
Britney, Work Bitch.
Yes.
Slow Hands, Niall Horan. By the way, never expected to like Niall Horan's solo stuff.
I love how you're calling them Niall Horan. You know it's Niall Horan.
Oh, fucking hell.
But I love that. I've got a voice note of him telling him Niall Horan. Well, he's probably heard that before.
Please,
but he's Irish,
don't.
So it's Niall Horan. But yeah.
Niall Horan.
Whatever.
Sorry, Niall Horan.
Say it whatever way you want. But
I think he's a great musician, but I didn't know I was going to like be obsessed with his music.
And I'm so glad. I did half the last album.
Well, Slow Hands was my introduction into loving Niall Horan.
Niall Horan. I'm going to call him that from now on.
Niall Horan.
His new single drops tomorrow, the same day as my album. And we did not plan this, but we both are releasing the same day. And I wrote it with him, his new single.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
So he's a nice guy. I've only met him once, but he's a lovely human being.
He's so lovely. He's Irish, of course.
Yeah, you get on.
If there's ever an Irish person that's like not nice, That's the problem.
No, and I'm from Irish heritage, so yes. Just saying.
That's why you're I'm okay to be around as well.
It's like I'm not fully Irish, so I'm only okay. But
no, also, anyone who's got a hint in them, they're just better off.
Also, lol that I pronounced Niall Horan's name wrong all
I
this
love
time.
It. Were you going around, I love that Niall, I love that.
I've always said Horan for the whole of my life.
Now I'm questioning it. No, it is Niall Horan. Yeah, because it's Horan.
Dude, you're fucking Irish. Of
know,
course
yes,
you're going to get
Irish.
It right.
Yes.
Like, I am wrong. You're like questioning yourself.
No, because now I'm like, no, definitely is.
Niall Horan.
Yeah, I've been
I'm
around
so
him
sorry.
Enough to know. Although he doesn't ever say his second name to me, but yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. I don't think I've ever anyway.
Heard him say it. Yeah, but his new single drops tomorrow and I wrote it.
Niall
with him.
Is great.
He's great. And his new single is... I don't want to. It's. I do feel like I can pump it up because I'm not the artist who's singing it. But I can say, yeah, it's amazing. I'm a part of it, and it's amazing.
And you've been a part of so many. As you say, you started. Well, I think it was 17. You were when you started songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Work, bitch. Sorry, just to take it back to there. Like, as a gay person with a lot of gay friends.
Yeah, same.
You. Are an icon of the gay community for being part of that song.
It is so funny because it is, yes.
It's like one of my favourite songs
especially
ever.
Gay guys, they're always like dancing to it, send me videos. I had a lot of gay friends from my stage school back in Ireland when I was in Ireland and they were just like, you know, there's so many songs that I've released and they're like, oh my God, work bitch. But what's so crazy to me is like when I went to see the Vegas show, I wasn't even sure. I had heard it was on the set list, but I was like, I don't know. There's so many bangers. Yeah. Will it make the cut? Everyone was wearing Work Bitch merch. When I went to the merch shop, my friend went over and went, you know, she wrote that. Give her, like, you need to give her that bag for free. I bought it because I'm like, listen, I'm going to support myself.
They didn't believe me.
I got a work. We all got hats and they're telling everyone in the crowd, my friend, she wrote this. And everyone's going, oh, didn't she? Like, they don't believe me at all. And
they're
then,
like, hi there. And everyone's like, this Irish girl wrote Work Bitch. It's like, yeah,
they don't
bitch,
believe me.
I did.
And then she opened the show with it. I was just like,
it's like, oh my God.
You're
an icon.
Oh no. No,
you're
I'm just, I feel blessed to be a part of, because I write a lot of heartbreak music. So whenever I'm a part of a song that's a bit fun and like not as much about torture or emotional or soulful, I'm like, oh my God.
And it's
so
just
cool.
About having a hard body. And
yes.
A Bugatti.
Yes.
My friend Dino has definitely sent me, because he is a mega, mega Britney fan.
Yes.
And he has definitely sent me a full routine, which I'll try and find
please
and show
send
you.
To me. I love seeing the stuff. I love that. It is so cool that, like, that's what's so great about being a songwriter and an artist, because I get to be involved in all different genres. Yeah. Like, I'm like a greedy music person because I'm like, I want to do folk like with Niall and I want to do dance with, you know, with Martin Garrix and Britney and stuff. So it's cool to be able to be a part of all these different genres.
It's, I mean, I'm fangirling over
oh,
you.
Oh, no.
I'm fangirling.
No.
You also, just touching on your sort of other collabs in a sense, is that you supported Alanis Morissette last year.
I did, yeah.
Oh.
I did.
How
I couldn't believe
that?
It.
I mean, I would have cried.
No, she watched my set side stage with her husband and I was dying. I was just like, I can't do this. I don't think I can do this. They love The Vow, which is the song that was on Love Island. Like, and I'm just like, it's Alanis Morissette. And you see, the thing is, what's so ironic, because I don't know if it's irony, but whatever, I sang the first gig I ever did when I was 10 was in a bar in Clonakilty in Cork, and I begged to get up and sing at the karaoke, and then I sang Ironic, and the barman came over, because obviously I was 10, I was tiny, and I was like, wah! And the staff were all everyone was clapping. He was like, will you come back tomorrow and do a 30-minute set a cappella, by the way, and we'll pay you, when I was 10 years old, because I was such a hit with because I was tiny, like rolling around singing. And I was like, of course I will. And my dad negotiated my fee, which was £30. I was like, Dad, we are like making some money. I was 10. I was like, yes, £30. And
is
I came back
legal?
Yeah, I came back, and I was the next day stood up on the bar with the microphone and sang for 30 minutes. I sang most of Alanis Morissette's album. So what was really crazy about that full circle moment, that was my first ever gig in inverted commas when I was 10. So then to then have that full circle moment and to be like, you're supporting Alanis Morissette, she's going to then watch you side stage. She's then going to invite you to her dressing room. Because my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, you should knock on her door. You know, you should. Because sometimes when you support someone, you don't always get to meet them.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
He was like, you know, and I was like, I will wait for her to come to me. Because I don't want to like
she's
annoy
too
her.
Iconic.
She's too iconic. What if she's like, needs to vocal? I'm like, I'm not going to be that person. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. So anyway, then her tour manager came up and was like, Alanis really wants to meet you. And I was like, oh my God. She wants to meet me. So then she like cleared time. I went in and met her and her husband. Oh, that she was just so lovely. She was she was like, anytime you need advice, anytime you need anything, I love your stuff. Like, I know what it's like to be a female in this industry. Like, keep going. Like,
I feel like I want to cry.
Yeah, it was like, it's so weird because when you're in them moments, you have to act like you're cool. Not that you're cool, but you can't like fall apart and be like, I love you. So I was like, yeah. I told her the story though about the karaoke and I was like, oh, you know, you just have to be so cool. But then when you leave, you're like, oh my God. Because I don't really get starstruck that much because I work with a lot of like...
You're in a studio in a very intimate place with famous people all the time.
So you kind of like, you have to just... like even when I work with John Legend and he's on the piano and he's looking at me and he's singing the song to me and I'm like, oh my God, John Legend is singing. I'm getting a private show right now of a song that we're writing.
And but I have to... Whatever.
No.
John, shut up. I'm going to the loo.
Now I actually have to kind of go, oh my God. And I'm just like, yeah, that sounds great, John. Yeah, let's go on to the next bit. Like I have to just... totally be composed.
Yeah.
And act like I'm not freaking out inside. But I think everyone does. When you work with someone big, you're always excited.
Can I say though, there's a big difference, I think, between being starstruck by someone who is famous and being starstruck by someone's talent. And I think you're talking about talent because the thing is about people, because I'm exactly the same. I don't get starstruck by fame. I get starstruck by people that I'm like, I ultimately respect you so much.
Absolutely.
And
that's exactly like me.
In high regard. And it's that idea of like, I want you to be as great as you are in real. And it's like, especially with people like, and I've heard about John Legend, they are as lovely.
Yeah, the most talented people are the nicest. It's the
because
ones
they don't
that,
need to be.
Yeah, it's the ones that think they have to have a ego about them that aren't. Like, and I've definitely written some people where I'm like, I don't know how you got here because you can't sing and you can't. But, you know, listen, they look great and they have something about them. So fair play to them. But I still, sometimes those people can be the most difficult because I feel like they think they have to. They have to have some type of ego about them. But the really talented ones, they care about the music. They care about their artistry. And that's the type of artist that I am as well. Because fame is not what a lot of people are like, oh, you're coming out from behind the scenes. And I'm like, this isn't about being famous. This is about stories that I wrote that are a collection that only I could sing. Yeah. And I love to sing. So I kind of would rather be known for my music than like, oh, you know, I can never imagine me getting like, you know, papped eating a sandwich. I would just be like, laugh out, like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not this type of person. Like, I don't, that whole part of it is like, no.
Yeah, but it's a bit like, you know, Julia Michaels did exactly the same thing. She wrote for other people and then she wrote a song that she was like, I cannot give this to anybody else.
Yeah, that's what happens. You get to that point where you're like, no one can really sing these but me. You know, loads of these celebrities are married with kids. They don't want to sing about, you know, being tortured and heartbroken in LA, you know. Yeah. So you have
to... But also
to,
it's your story.
It's my story,
it's your story.
I don't think I've ever given away a song that's really my story because my job in the room with other artists is to pull out their stories and find myself in their stories and to help them tell it. So that's why it's so easy to differentiate between my art stuff and my songwriting stuff because it's two completely different parts of my... One is like me being a therapist for other people and then the other is the real me that be a therapist to myself kind of thing.
I know, and I love that because you wrote like secretly you just actually want to be a therapist.
Oh my God, 100%. And I have a therapist and she's always like, I can see why all your friends... Because my friends come to me for advice.
Well, I was about to say, are you free after the show?
No, because I'll have to use it. The agreement is I'll give you a free advice, but I'm allowed to use your story for songs, which I've done plenty of times. But my therapist is always like, you'd be a good therapist, but I'm terrible at taking my own advice.
Which she must hate, by the way. Imagine being a therapist for a therapist.
No,
the worst.
No,
an unqualified therapist as well.
Yeah, well, she's like, but she gets very frustrated because she's like, now you know what you need to do here, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, but Catherine, there's a song in here somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to just wait till the song comes and then I'll get rid of them.
And then, but that's the thing. I think, you know, you've got this analytical side to you that you want to know about people, what makes them tick, what makes them be who they are. Mm. And actually, that makes you a great songwriter and artist for yourself because you need that curiosity.
I'm so nosy. I'll meet an artist and like within 10 minutes, like, so what's going on? Tell me what's going on. Like anyone, I don't care if it's Jennifer. I'm just like, okay, tell me what's going on in your life because
but they want to share.
Oh my God, they definitely want to share and they trust you because they know you're not going to just go sell any stories. But also,
Why would you as well?
Never.
I mean, anyone who does that needs to get the fuck out of here.
No, I'm always trying to find the best song, and I think that the best songs come from conversation and from real things. So my job as an artist is the same thing. You're looking for the most universal feeling. Like, what's the most universal feeling that you can give a listener? Mm-hmm. And I think Julie is the same. I think a lot of especially female songwriters, that we're trying to pull that real substance feeling, you know, no matter what that is. We want to make you cry, We want to make you laugh. We want to make you fall in love. And that's why with my song The Vow that I released, like when I saw it on Love Island, I was so excited because that's exactly the moment on a TV show that I wanted that song for. That's why you write songs like that, because you're like, ah, oh, now it's in this moment where people are going to really get to connect with it.
I have this weird thing that when I hear certain songs, like I was listening, I can't remember who, it's really annoying, I can't remember who it was, but I was listening to a really unknown artist the other day and I was like, shit, this would be perfect for the end of a film where someone's just been broken up with. And I was like, oh, and when you can like sink in your own head, that's when you know you've got a good song, because it's like, if you could sink is the most important thing in the music industry.
It just opens up, that sink just opens up the song to like so many people.
Well, a lot of artists literally create entire careers from an Audi sink, or a John Lewis sink, or, you know, and for people listening at home, a sink means basically getting one of your songs
on a film,
on a TV show. Like you've done with Love Island. It's a great way to people to go, wait, who's Ruth Ann? Let me find out about this artist.
It's been amazing for that song, because I'd released that song and we had pitched it to Love Island last year and they didn't put it on. And then this year I'm just watching it and I get the surprise of my life and they played the entire song. And I got so many messages now of people saying, I'm using this for my wedding. I'm having this as my... And videos of people walking down the aisle to it. And as
weird.
And as an artist, like, charts are one thing, and then you get sent all these videos of people using their song in their weddings and you're like, oh my God, this is exactly why I'm doing an album. This is exactly why.
Oh, well, we're gonna come back to the album in a minute, and we're going to play Take What I Can Get at the end of the show, because we're going to take you. I'm sorry, I'm keeping you in the studio.
No, keep me.
But for our executive guests, I'm going to I play a little game.
Oh, I love games.
It's called Harriet's High Fives, and I've got a really special jingle for it, because that's how cool I am. Wait, I can't find it.
Oh my God, you're about to sing.
Oh, she's
so
coming
excited.
In. She's getting it up for me. So basically, in this game, I'm going to ask you 5 questions about you.
Oh, Lord.
And each one you get right is a high five. It's a Harriet's High Five. And you're going to go on a leaderboard of other people.
Like things about me?
Yeah.
That you know?
Okay.
Okay.
But you're on a leaderboard, hun, so this is serious.
How many do I have to beat? I'm quite competitive.
I think there's 5. Here's, do you want to hear my special jingle for
yes,
it?
Yes, please.
Harriet, high five.
Woo! Here we go. Simple but effective.
I love it.
All right, let's make it a little bit tenser up in here.
Oh my God. Oh my God, who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
Do I get money?
I'm going to give you no money if you win this.
Okay.
It's about how many you get out of 5, and you're going to sit on a leaderboard. Actually, Nat, can you put up the leaderboard so I can, or some of them, so I can see who else has got what numbers? Fantastic.
Oh my God.
Ruth Ann.
Yes.
Welcome to Harriet's High Fives.
Thank you. High five to you.
High five.
High five.
Woo! Okay, boom. Question 1.
Yes.
When was your single, Take Me Away, released? And you've got 3 options. 5th of May, 2008. 11th of May, 2008. 2nd of May, 2008.
Oh, do you know what? I knew it was May 2008. Say the 11th.
She's going with 11th.
I'm wrong.
Am I right?
She's wrong.
What was it, the 5th?
2nd.
Oh, bloody hell.
Don't worry.
That was back in 2008.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's
this is not easy.
This is not an
easy game.
Oh my God, I thought, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You co-wrote Britney Spears' The Work Bitch, as we've discussed.
Yes.
When was it released? 2012, 2013, 2014?
2013.
Correct!
Woo! That was hard.
Absolutely correct.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Next one. You featured on Professor Green's track Remedy.
I did.
Which is in his At Your Inconvenience album. What is Professor Green doing in the album cover? 3 options.
Okay.
Is he sitting?
Mm-hmm.
Is he lying down? Is he standing?
He's sitting on a couch.
Oh, she is smashing this, Ruth Ann.
Boom. No, because you know people, sometimes longtime fans of his, bring the CD for me to sign that.
Really?
So that's why I've seen that album cover a lot. Yeah.
She's seen it. She's been there. All right. What is the most popular video on your YouTube channel? Is it The Vow, Ruth Ann, Pray, the live acoustic featuring Ruti, or Ruth Ann, The Vow official lyric video?
It's got to be Pray, 50 Shades. Is it?
It's The Vow, honey.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Does that make you guess?
Thank you. Well, it must be from... Yeah, I see.
Love Island. Yeah.
I haven't looked. I don't really look at numbers and stuff. So
I didn't think you would. Yeah. That's why I made it so hard.
I was like, I don't know. I just thought Pray because 50 Shades of... Yeah. Woo! Go The Vow.
Last one.
Oh, I'm definitely going to lose this game. Okay.
You co-wrote JoJo's Too Little Too Late. Complete the track lyrics. Oh. It's just too little, too late, a little too long, and I something wait. Is it don't, should, or can't?
And I can't wait.
Oh!
Yes, come on girl! Now. That one would have been really bad if I got that wrong.
Also, listen to that beautiful girl singing.
No, do you know the amount of people who come to karaoke with me and they're like, I love your song, Too Little Too Late, and then they, the words are there and they still get them wrong. They're like, I know every word, and then they're like, I'm so mad. And I'm like, you aren't a real fan.
This is what I do when I sing Too Little Too Late. I go, it's just a little too late.
Yes.
And then I can't wait.
That's so funny.
To be real, I know, it's like, I do know it. But
you know also, everyone always goes, it's just a little too late, but it's just too little too late. It's too little too late.
I said too little too late.
Some people say, it's just a little too late. And I'm like, baby doll.
Your voice is unreal. Now, Ruthann, we're about to finish the show.
Yes.
Before we go,
let's
just finish off talking a little bit about the album. It's coming out at midnight tonight. Here's my piece of paper. I'm just trying to find all my information.
Oh, my God. Midnight tonight.
We're going to play Take What I Can Get.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Is there any live shows or anything you're coming up that we can come to see?
Yes. Colours in Hoxton on October 16th. Please come. It's my headline show. It's an album show. It's full band. I've got amazing two female artists supporting me. I'm going to sing the entire album from start to finish, which includes a cover of TLC's Waterfalls. I'm going to do a medley of the hits I've written. I'm going to do my new single, Take What I Can Get. It's out midnight. Please prove to everybody that albums are not dead. And
they
go stream it. Go buy it. CDs and vinyls will be available from next week on my website, so you can get a physical copy. So yeah, just keep an eye out at This Is Ruthann on my Instagram.
Matters of the Heart.
Yes.
The icon that is Ruthann in the studio. Thank you so much
for joining me. Thank you so much for having
me. Take What I Can Get is up now. We love you. Can't wait to hear the album.
For hours on the phone makes you feel a little less alone. Me too, baby.
Me too, baby.
But it's hard to just be friends when we were never friends before. No. But I guess I'll take what I can get. I guess I'll take what I can get. And you're 2,000 miles away, and I can tell your heart's still not ready. It takes two, baby.
Takes two.
And it's hard to be so patient when I'm so impatient for mine. But I guess I'll take what I can get. I guess I'll take what I can get. I'm wishing, I'm hoping you're saving the best for last. And I'm to get burned, 'cause you light fires and then you turn a 180. Can you come around full circle? Am I gonna be able to pretend I'm satisfied? I guess I'll take what I can get. I guess I'll take what I can get.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.